Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again to ride along on the Pedego Podcast. Pack up your cares and woes. We're taking to the road. And we're going to follow a journey that, wow, it had a lot of twists and turns along the way. Fascinating story today with our guest, Tom Mulligan. Welcome, Tom Mulligan.
Hi, Paul. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're a dealer in Pedego Grand Rapids, but you took the path less traveled, as the great Robert Frost used to write in the poem I had to memorize in fifth grade. you took the road less traveled. Let's talk about that. First, you started in what I do, radio and television production.
Well, you know, first, even like before that, I was a bike enthusiast. So I was a BMX kid and a mountain bike kid just whenever I could get on a bike and just get out, you know, I had a blast on a bike. And then as I got older, I started commuting on bikes. And so bikes have always been kind of a big part of my life.
Well, what did you do in radio, TV, and where did you do it?
So radio and TV came along. It was kind of a childhood sort of interest, because I listened to Larry King. I remember he was on WGN, I believe it was, in Chicago, and it was a clear channel station. And so I listened to Larry King do all these interviews, and I was just thrilled at being able to meet these people. And I wanted to do the same thing. So that's what started my interest in radio. And I ultimately wanted to do talk radio, and, I never really got to do that, but I did get into commercial production. I got into, doing promotions and as a promotions director for a little while. And then, I had a night show at a station in, Wyoming State, which was a phenomenally successful station because it was the only really top 40 station in Wyoming.
Oh, there you
go. Everything else was country and Christian radio. And so, all the teenagers wanted the hits. So, we did pretty well in Wyoming there.
Well, you're talking my, talking my language because I started off at WMYK. I ran the college radio station at University of Michigan. Then my biggest market was WMYK, K94 in Norfolk, Virginia here. So I lived that life. And when you say clear channels, oh boy, nobody knows what that means. In the Midwest, we had these giant things that at night they just cranked up the receiver and you could hear it clear across the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got started. And I did a little bit of TV work, and mostly in the master control sort of arena, did a little bit of production. And then I, just felt like I needed to get a big boy job and went to college. And so then I got my undergrad degree then at that point.
And suddenly you took a, I don't know if it's a left turn or right turn. It was a radical turn. You didn't return to television and radio. You got into social work and in a way, a very deep way. Talk about that.
Yeah. You know, it started when my grandmother broke her ankle, actually. And she was going to get her taxes from H&R Block or some office. And she fell and broke her ankle on a railroad track. And she had surgery and went into rehab. And then she was home for like 6 weeks without having really the support at home for her. And so I moved in with her and we just had a wonderful time for those about 8 weeks where I was kind of helping her relearn walking and kind of helping her do her therapy and that kind of stuff. And I really discovered an interest in just being of service and trying to make the world a little better place through service work. And so that got me into what I studied in political science and I was going to do sort of more of a global thing. But the more and more I got into it, the more and more it was just, you know, service was local, service was in my neighborhood. And so I kind of wanted to go down that direction. And I started doing different work with different organizations and eventually moved out to Grand Rapids. We were in Seattle at that time and ended up working for a number of different organizations here in the Midwest.
Did you have any connection to the Grand Rapids area? We were talking offline. I grew up in Michigan. I had friends that came from Grand Rapids. It's a very beautiful town. It's Dutch, and the tulip fields and all the other stuff there. And
not really. It was mostly an education stop. We came out to finish up a medical degree and to finish up a graduate degree. Mm-hmm. And we were going to go back to Seattle and kind of write the Midwest off as 3 years where we just kind of dealt with it. And then it just kind of grew on us.
It is something you kind of have to dealt with, particularly the winters.
Right. It's the winters. It's the hot, muggy summers.
Yeah.
You know, we'd been around mountains our whole life and we didn't have any mountains out here. So we were very much, you know, dialed into going back and we just decided to stay. We met people and the cost of living was much more reasonable than Seattle.
And there is a different vibe there. I never lived mm-hmm. in Seattle, but I always say, you know, there is something about the Midwest, particularly when you're a kid. I don't mm-hmm. know. It's family. It's safe. It's mm-hmm. makes sense. It's mm-hmm. right and wrong. It's you know,
it's simpler.
Good people.
It's a little simpler in a lot of ways. And I think it's I refer to it sometimes as meat and potatoes. You know, it's pretty yeah. basic out here. And not everywhere. There's nuances and eccentricities all over in the Midwest as they are everywhere. But I think it's
it's pretty middle of the road, though. It's not too eccentric.
Pretty middle of the road.
I went to Ann Arbor. That was pretty eccentric outside of Detroit, but where the U of M was. But most of it, and I would say it's not, people like steady. They like secure. That's what they're going for. Never too hot, never too cold, just right. You know, that's the kind of feeling that people shoot for. And I can see the assistance. So let's talk about this assistance. You didn't just help, you know, grandmas anymore get to a health center or help underprivileged kids get an education, all the kinds of things mm-hmm. I associate with social work. You get into mm-hmm. a pretty deep subject, assisting refugees and former prisoners returning to the community. Yeah. Talk about any of that.
Yeah. So there, with the refugees, the struggle with refugees coming into the U.S. is they get assistance for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And when you're fresh off the boat in a refugee situation, 6 months of assistance is really not enough at all.
Right.
And it's designed to give you supportive housing. It's designed to get you, make sure you get some food and help you with some job training. And then you're kind of on your own, you know, good luck in America. They wash their hands of you. So the organization that we put together and that I continued to work for was designed to help these refugees, children particularly, make it through school and deal with some of the language barriers that they were experiencing in school, deal with some of the reading issues. Refugees fall behind very quickly in U.S. schools, primarily because of a language issue. So this after-school program is designed to help provide some assistance in that arena. So we did some, you know, reading skills. We did a lot of math skills. We had volunteer tutors on staff. We had computers available to kind of help. And these were primarily refugees from Somalia.
Right.
But we did a lot of great work there.
I really applaud you for what you're doing, and I really believe in all that you're doing.
Thank you.
And then you decided, maybe I got to live the American dream, which seems to be, for many of us, let's own business.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? So, how did you make that transition?
Well, I rode an e-bike once and was just amazed at the different kind of experience it was from a traditional bike.
Right.
And I thought for sure this was going to be a game changer. And this was about 2017 or so. And
that's pretty early in the cycle here. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I started poking around. I almost bought an e-bike shop in Detroit and was going to move it over to Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of put the whole thing on hold for a little bit. And then we had COVID. And so mm-hmm. it was kind of it finally came to fruition when I was working from home and just realized how much I just needed people. I didn't realize how much of a people person I was until I didn't have anyone around me and I was working from home the whole time. It was very depressing. It was very hard to just sort of get enthusiastic about my social work world. And I was missing people. And so I took the opportunity. I reached out to a couple of different companies about being a dealer, and Pedego very quickly rose to the top. As being a high quality dealer with the right infrastructure, the right brand, the right models of bikes, the quality of the bikes, everything. So we got married real quick.
That was a shotgun wedding here, right?
Yeah, it was a shotgun wedding with that guy, for sure.
All right, so now you're transitioning radio, television, you know, a deeply impactful social work in the community, but all with a sense mm-hmm. of sort of people, of talking with people like Larry King did, of helping people, and now of... of a service and endeavor. What's that like to be a small? As I've never had a little small shop where people come by and say, "Hey, Tom, how you doing today?"
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. I didn't realize that I actually would be as skilled as we were in our shop. I didn't realize that we would be able to build relationships like we have been.
Yeah, right.
And it really starts very early on. Like our first initial conversations, we're talking about, we can end up talking about all kinds of things with a customer before we even start talking about bikes.
Yeah.
Of course we're going to talk about bikes, but I just ask a lot of questions. I'm always curious about, you know, people, and you know, it could be the car they drove up in or what part of town they live in or
their health issues or all sorts of
their health issues or what they were doing right before they came in the shop or where they had dinner last night. It always comes up. It's a very relational experience for me. I really enjoy getting to know new people. And so what we're trying to build within our company, our local company here is, once you become a Pedego Grand Rapids part of our family, you know, you're always connected to us personally, and it's not just a business sort of customer relationship.
It's not transactional, where every other business I can think of, and particularly small local businesses, mom and pop, Main Street kind of businesses, I go down to the dry cleaner. I might know them, hey, Joe, or something, but it's a transaction. Give me my stuff. We chat for a second, and I leave. Or I go to the drugstore, fill this up, or I go to the buy an appliance at the appliance center, and they're polite, and they show me, but I don't feel the need to go back and hang. I don't walk into the dry cleaner and say, hey, how are you doing today, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Do people do that though?
That's what we get. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a guy come in this morning with a flat tire and needed some assistance getting it fixed. He didn't even buy his bike from us. Hmm. He bought from somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but he and I'd never met him before, but he immediately was a part of our family because he just he started the conversation. It was just an easy. The thing about Pedego is it's an easy conversation with anybody who owns a Pedego because it's just a natural connection. We're all excited about our bikes and we all have, you know, something to
stories
offer
to tell.
The other person.
Yeah, stories to tell.
Yeah, we have stories to tell and people to meet.
So do you, as many dealers do, try and foster and continue that relationship after they've purchased the product? Don't just... We'll come and service it once in a while. Come ride with us. Come hang out with us.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. So we got a monthly ride that we do. Typically we try and do it on a Sunday just because it's really best for our shop to be able to do it on a Sunday. But we don't always get the greatest attendance on Sundays. So we're
everybody's at church in Grand Rapids. At least that's what I remember. So you got to get them after church.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why, we go Sunday afternoons.
Right.
And they're still in church sometimes in Grand Rapids on Sunday afternoons. So, but I think more importantly, what we do is we always follow up with a phone call, whether it's a sale or a service appointment or something. We always try and check in with everyone and see if there's anything we can do to further their experience. And just, again, part of building that relationship. So it's not uncommon for me to give my cell phone out to customers.
Wow.
Especially if they bought a bike on a Friday and they're going to go ride for the weekend. You know, I want them to feel like they can call me if they're out and about and I'm not in the shop, that they can call a cell phone. If something's not working on their bike, you know, I want them riding their bike that weekend.
Tom, that sounds a little strange to me because I just went, my wife got a new car, a little BMW, or whatever it's called, a Mini. She got a little Mini. Cool little car, right?
Okay.
And so we went to the dealer. They're very nice. We looked around. They gave us a good price. They explained everything. We bought from them. And occasionally we go and get the vehicle serviced and we tip our hat and say hi. And that's about it.
Yeah.
I didn't get anybody's cell phone number. And that weekend when we got the thing home, we couldn't figure out how to open the roof. I couldn't call up and say, hey, man, this isn't working. And they certainly never say, why don't you just bring your Mini? We're all going to go for a ride next weekend. This is not normal.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about Pedego. And I think Don has done a phenomenal job at just, you know, cultivating new dealers to understand what we're about, that it's not transactional.
Right.
You know, but yet we all have the opportunity to kind of make it our own in that way, which I also really like.
Yeah, it's because it's not a franchise. No, it's a license kind of thing. Yeah. So you have some adaptability. There's some rails you can follow, but you can go off the rails if you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So but the whole culture, I think, I just do what they tell me to do, basically, is all it is.
you follow the plan.
I try not to, veer off too far, because they've done this 200 times opening stores. So,
but Tom, why do I not completely believe that? Because you have not followed the path well traveled here. You have gone off down your own.
Yeah, go off road once I know what I'm doing a little bit. I might go off road a little bit, but right now, the first year was just figuring out how to do this.
Yeah,
a social worker. Here's the thing. Here's the downside of being a social worker starting a business. I don't like to charge people money.
Take the bike. I'll figure it out. Take the bike.
I'll figure that out. Take the bike. Go have fun with it. Let me figure out the other stuff. Okay? but no, I do. It's not my favorite part of the whole experience, but it's a necessary part, and I'm getting better at it. Yeah, I do. I feel bad sometimes charging people for things. And that's just the social worker in me. It's wanting people to feel.
I'm coming to your store. I'm going to give you a sad story, and I'm going to get a good price. I know that's going to happen. Right.
All right, so come to my store and tell me you're a refugee, and
you'll walk out with a bike.
Right.
All right, so here's what I'm hearing. You are a guy who has not lived by transactional standards. It's not about the transaction. It's about feeling about a connection, and it's about transformation. Is that true? Is it more?
That's the fun part. The fun part. Yeah. The transaction's just like the part I don't like about it. But the fun part's the connection, the building the relationship, seeing them again. I have customers that come in, and it's just awesome to see them.
And maybe, just maybe, making a difference in their life.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think that's what I'm hearing. That's the deal here. Now you get to do it in a totally unforeseen way. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this story. What would you say to anybody else who's thinking, I can't open a bike store? What do I know about selling bikes or fixing bikes or any of this stuff? Is that what it is? It's just a mechanical business that I've got to master?
No, it's more than that, but it's fun. And if you can have fun and enjoy talking to people, I think you'll be fine. It's not complicated. The math is simple. That's one of the things when I was going to open a business, the math had to be simple because it just has to be simple for me to get it,
You don't want complex spreadsheets and projections.
Right.
Maybe not just have fun, maybe help them along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're helping people. We're having a little fun doing it. We're building new relationships, and we got a great brand to do it with.
Thanks for helping us understand this crazy journey you're on here and sharing it with us today here. Yeah. Tom Mulligan, how do they find you in Grand Rapids? Probably everybody knows you in Grand Rapids.
Well, they can find us at pedagograndrapids.com. They can find us on Facebook at Pedago Grand Rapids. We're on Instagram, Pedago Electric Bikes Grand Rapids. And then... I've got a favorite brewery they can always find me.
I was going to say, come on, we all drink beer back in the Midwest, especially, but there's lots of cool breweries. And since I grew up as a kid, it isn't just Stroh's beer anymore here, whatever we drink in Detroit. There's a lot of fun stuff out there. All right. Yeah. So, and are you like at Main and Main? Are you like downtown or someplace? Are you out in suburbia? Where are you at?
We are on, we're on Cascade Road outside of Grand Rapids, about 9.5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, next time I'm coming through, and I can't imagine when I'd be coming through Grand Rapids again, but if I do, I'm not going to make it a rapid tour. I'm going to stop by and see your store here, Pedago,
awesome.
Grand Rapids. Yeah. Thank you, Tom Mulligan, for sharing
your story.
It's an amazing story. It really is.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, wow, there's a journey that you wouldn't have expected. The only kind of journeys you get here on the Pedago podcast is we ride along with the entrepreneurs driving the whole movement and the love stories of those just riding along. For more information, hear more stories, tune in each and every week to the Pedago podcast, which can be found anywhere you find good podcasts, as well as at pedago.com.